Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
All right. Today, we are going to rank all 16 head coaches in the SEC. And the next episode, we're getting to the top 15 overall nationally. But we both agreed here, unfortunately, worst team in the SEC and, according to us, the worst head coach as well.
Yeah. Poor Clark Lee. Vanderbilt. He had, you know, he had that 5-7 year a couple seasons ago, and you thought, wow, okay, here we go. Maybe it's, you know, James Franklin 2.0. But the reality set in last year. I mean, overall, he's 2-22 in SEC play over the last 3 years. And last year, they lost all 8 SEC games by over 3 touchdowns. It's just, we know it's a hard situation, but you look at it and Vandy's not necessarily in a better spot than they were 3 years ago.
No. Okay. Number 15, Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State. I think he did a good job at UCF, Ole Miss, and OU as an offensive coordinator. But as we've said in previous episodes, he's a first year head coach with, you know, of course, no previous head coaching experience. So you usually just kind of get slotted towards the bottom of the conference until you prove something.
Yep. All right, number 14, Sam Pittman. He's slid here recently. Fun guy to have in college football. I mean, he surprised us a little bit having a 9-win breakout season a couple years ago, but it's looking more and more like an aberration. They were 4-8 last year. Their star quarterback, KJ Jefferson, went to the portal. Really, I mean, they've had 50 guys enter the portal the last two off seasons. It's been kind of an exodus, and he's in this point now where it's kind of win now or he's gone. They bring in Talen Green from Boise. He's got potential, and I like getting Bobby Petrino for offensive coordinator, but the way I'm looking at it is it might just be kind of putting lipstick on a pig for the moment. Like,
oh, a pig. Yes.
Yeah. Pig Suey. There you go. Fitting for the Hogs. But personally, I mean, I do hope he's able to get some wins this year and stick around because he's a fun personality to have.
Yeah, I like Sam Pittman, so it's tough for us to do a little victory lap here because we don't want to cheer in his decline. But he probably is one of the coaches I recall from the past few years that we got the most crap on for how low we had him.
Yes, and Arkansas fans weren't pleased.
It's, I think we'll see what happens, but it's kind of looking like not great for him. Number 13, we got Shane Beamer at South Carolina. He's 20-18 through 3 years there, which, given what he inherited is okay, but it's definitely not great. And the issue is they just don't seem to be clearly heading in a positive direction. They missed a bowl game last year. They're, if you look at, the over-under for this upcoming season, about a coin flip to make a bowl game in 2024. Recruiting, he's a good recruiter, but it's not like it's taken a jump from what Will Muschamp is doing. It's stayed at the kind of solid level that it was. So, there's still hope. It still could be somewhat early in his tenure, or it could be late. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Number 12, Billy Napier, Florida. I was thinking back about this. His first game there a couple years ago, they beat Utah in the swamp in that thriller. And, things started off really promising, but man, it's been a disappointment ever since. 11-14 overall. Gator fans have been on his back. The recruiting hasn't been elite because of that on-field record. And like this past offseason, they were close to having a really great class, but people kind of been backing out late. That has hurt. And even this year, having one of your best players, Trevor Etienne, going to the rival Georgia, it's a tough look. Louisiana.
What about it?
Wow.
I mean, we saw McElwain's, or at least actually, it was kind of obscured on the
Him and the shark. But what I was trying to say, his Louisiana success, I think it has to count for something. But it is kind of put up or shut up this year, most likely for him, for Napier at Florida.
Yeah, if I'm gonna, give us a little credit for Sam Pittman. I personally was extremely high on Billy Napier and ranked him as such in previous years. So that's one that we'll see what happens, but it's not looking great for me. But I was going to make another penis thing, but number 11, Mike Elko at Texas A&M. And this is just a longevity thing, because you could not have asked for a better 2 years than he had at Duke. Just they were a bad team when he got there, and it was just an immediate insane turnaround. But it's just 2 years, and now he steps into a loaded SEC. He's going to need to recruit against, you know, the elite coaches in college football, the elite programs. So he needs to prove himself a little more before climbing on this list. I mean, he could be a couple slots higher potentially, but
definitely.
But I think, you know, I'm okay with where he ended up.
Me too. All right, number 10, Brent Venables. Jury is still kind of out on Venables as a head coach. I mean, he's proven so far to be a really good recruiter, which helps. But his first year at Oklahoma was a disappointment. They were 6-7. Did have a solid bounce back year last year. Went 10-3. Now he's just got to, you know, transition to a much tougher SEC and do it this year with a new offensive coordinator. You know, Jeff Lebby left for Mississippi State, as we talked about earlier, and you know, the talent, Oklahoma's talent, should get them in the mix for the league, but we'll just see if Venables is able to push the right buttons to make that happen.
Yep. Okay. Number 9 is Mark Stoops at Kentucky, a guy that we've probably always been a little bit lower on than most people. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I know Kentucky is not a powerhouse football program, but I always kind of look back at what Rich Brooks did there in the 2000s, and you know, what Stoops doing is pretty similar. And it's not like we saw Rich Brooks as some elite coach. Like, he was good and solid. And I think that's what Stoops is. 8 straight bowl games is very good at Kentucky. So you might think maybe he deserves to be higher, but 6 of those 8 years, they've been 7-5 or worse. And they always schedule 3 complete cupcakes in the non-conference. So when you kind of got almost 3 guaranteed wins there, plus you've been in the East, you have Vanderbilt on your schedule and they've been terrible. So getting to that 7-5 mark, it looks good. Like, oh, at Kentucky, that's pretty good. But it's not as, I think, as impressive as it may have seemed. So I think he, you know, mixed in a good run of a few years there, but I'm not sure that's going to be the norm.
I agree. And this is one I want to take a second to talk about, because personally, I wanted to see Stoops go to Texas A&M because I'm in the same boat as you. I just don't know about him. I wanted to see what he could maybe do there. And I don't know. I would love to hear Big Blue Nation's thoughts on this, because maybe I'm off base, but if I were a Kentucky fan, I think I might want to like move on from him soon. I mean, even if you say, okay, he has elevated the program, I'm not going to deny that. But like, now what more is he going to do? And he's been there 11 years. He's had 2 top 25 finishes. The last 2 years, he's gone 3-5 in conference. Like, I understand the grass isn't always greener, and it is a tough place to win. But like, the new guy, yeah, he could fail, but he also might have more upside. That's just the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when it's like it's Kentucky.
I mean, maybe he is
like,
really
where
good
do they rank? Where do they rank among the programs in the SEC? Right, they're probably.
And that's, you know, yeah, and that's why I wanted to see him go to A&M, where like. Because A&M has that high upside, and maybe he was the guy that could have done it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And they're also, I mean, was he, I don't recall what the kind of, did he decline to take the A&M job, or was it kind of like they flirted and I'm not sure. I remember thinking
there was like a mini A&M fan revolt, but like, I don't know. I don't know if it was also him declining.
You're right. That does sound, now that you say that. So one of the things is maybe there's a reason he has never got the big job, right? Like the Florida State job opened, you know, his name kind of came up, and over the years his name has come up, but he hasn't gotten the job. And
yeah,
maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe people don't view him as, you know, maybe they view him as just like, yeah, good coach, but
not yeah, great. Solid. Yeah. Yeah, he's fascinating. He's a tough one. Number 8. And the thing with these lists is I don't want to just fall in the trap of everyone. The narrative around him is like, oh, yeah, he's really good at Kentucky. But like, Michael, you and I, we got to combat that a little bit. Maybe he's not.
Okay.
All right. Number 8, Eli Drinkwitz. Last year really helped him so much. 11-2 with a Cotton Bowl win, finished in the top 10. He's got a great core coming back to favorable slate, which, you know, could potentially elevate his stock even more if they they match their expectations and perform well. The players seem to like him. He's pretty charismatic. Now we're just going to learn what he can do when there are expectations, and no one is taking Missouri lightly this year.
Yeah. And, you know, what was it? 1 year at App State, but it was
that 1 year. So I don't, know. I mean, it was good, but what it's just like App State was humming.
Something like that.
No, he did. He did great. It's not a bad thing.
It's a little, footnote, I guess, on there. Okay. Number seven, we got Josh Heupel at Tennessee. He is off to obviously a good start there, elevated them back to a good level very quickly. They seem to be in a position to be a consistent top 20 team, maybe a little better. We'll see. But you know, yeah, I guess that is the question. We'll see. Can they be better than that? Is that Hendon Hooker 2022 season, you know, going to be an outlier, or is that, are there going to be several more seasons like that to come? That's the question mark, I guess. But
yeah,
he just has a relatively short track record. Because you look at UCF and it's like, okay, he took over an undefeated program and right. You know, did well, but you know, no one would have him anywhere close to ranked this high after that. So if we're just looking at Tennessee here, it's still a somewhat small sample. And the recruiting is also it's kind of like what we talked about with Dan Lanning at Oregon. It's like, how much credit do we give to Heupel for this recruiting versus NIL? I feel like a lot in Tennessee's case. I feel like it's a lot NIL, just because I don't know. Heupel has never really been known as a recruiter.
Yeah, at least he doesn't come off that way. But it's Nico time. Let's hope he pans out. It's fun when the Vols are good.
Yeah. No, I mean the program is in a very good spot.
Yep.
And all number right. seven in the SEC. That's a damn good coach.
Right. Michael, I think this next one, number six, Hugh Freeze. Maybe this is one that people might question.
I think people will question it, but I'm happy.
We're in the same boat. But you know, we're obviously both fans of Hugh Freeze. Ryan definitely was
as a coach.
The coach, Hugh Freeze. I know. So the ranking it definitely might surprise people, but you have to consider what he did at Ole Miss. Some violations or not. He's won with different quarterbacks. He also won at Arkansas State, then did well at Liberty. I mean, look what he just left Jamie Chadwell last year at Liberty. They went unbeaten, got to a New Year's Six Bowl. Chadwell had a key part of that. I'm not saying it was all Hugh Freeze at all, no. But the cupboard wasn't bare. And I know that last year wasn't great for Auburn, but it wasn't expected to be. He just landed a top 10 recruiting class. I'm just optimistic on him finding a way and having success at Auburn like he has at pretty much every stop.
I agreed. Yeah, multiple stops. I always love that. And he knows how to recruit. He knows he's a good coach. Like I think Auburn is just going to keep getting better and better. Number five, we've got Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And thinking back to previous years, we briefly brought this up before we started recording, but people, I remember, lost their minds when I think we had, I want to say after Ed Orgeron won the national title.
Oh, yeah.
We still had Kiffin ahead of Coach O, if I remember right, on our rankings. And yeah, it was, we got a lot of crap. And now I think Kiffin has gone on to prove us right here.
Yes.
Like, he did an incredible job at FAU. And now is having a ton of success at Ole Miss, kind of doing, you know, similar to what Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss a decade ago. He's got two double-digit win seasons the last 3 years, and now this upcoming year is looking like maybe their best team yet. They're a fringe national title contender, definitely a playoff contender. So he's just a good coach. Like, you can't deny it.
Yeah, and his success at Ole Miss has been even better than what Hugh Freeze did. It's amazing. Yeah. All right. Number four, Steve Sarkisian. Last year was huge for both Sark and Texas. I mean, they both kind of validated that they're good by getting to the playoff. And he just seems to be building a great program there at Texas. They've rapidly improved each of his 3 years. His recruiting has been in the top five. They're just accumulating talent. He was a successful offensive coordinator at Alabama. You know, obviously had his demons at USC, but wasn't bad there even with them. Clearly learned from everything. And the way I look at it for Texas, and Sark, the timing is as good as any for them to transition to the SEC with the talent that they have and the success that they're having.
Yeah, no, he's just got that program. It seems like up to what they should be, and especially when you consider, obviously this past year was great. Next year is expected to be great, and a couple years ago, they were pretty unlucky. So,
right,
it's kind of looking like it's going to be a good kind of 3-year run, and then hopefully more in the future. But number three, all right, this one is an interesting one. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. And I am still in a bit more in wait and see mode with him compared to other people. I think that maybe that doesn't quite show up here on this list, but especially when we get to the national list, it might. I think, so the difference between 3 through 5, like the difference, say, between DeBoer and Lane Kiffin, to me is not very much at all. Like, you could easily swap those, whereas I think most people, the lists I've seen, would not agree with that. Like, everyone thinks DeBoer is maybe clearly better. Now, here, so let's talk about the positive first. Like, why is he this high? What I love about DeBoer is he just crushed it everywhere he's been. Like, at every level, as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, it's just success, 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 and he's a winner. But why I think, you know, I'm not going to have him number two on this list, and why personally I would not have him top five nationally, we'll get to that next episode, is at the power conference level, it's still just a 2-year sample size, and it's been a great 2 years, but you do have to consider he's been 12-2 in one score games, which is obviously just is unsustainable. So if Washington had more average luck the past 2 years, and instead of 25-3 they were 21-7, we'd still think he's a really good coach, which he is, but would we really be saying, like, oh, he's like the number two or three coach in the country? No one would be saying that.
Even if he had only, say he only lost one, like he lost the Pac-12 title and they don't go to the playoff.
Yeah.
Like, he's not at Alabama, I don't think, so.
Certainly, yeah, if it was one more, maybe not. Just, certainly if he had, you know, lost a couple more, then yeah, he probably wouldn't be at Alabama. I agree. So I don't want to overreact to a couple years, especially, like I said, when there's been that close game luck or variance, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that's the kind of the positive and negative with him. And also recruiting at an elite level is still an unknown.
Yeah. Like the program definitely helped recruit itself this year because they did well, but yeah, it's is that sustainable under him? I'm curious on DeBoer at a powerhouse like Bama. I'm not betting against him, but I'm interested to see the fit.
I'm in a weird spot with DeBoer because,
yeah, I know
we on the podcast have been so high on him for probably like 3 or 4 years. I mean, ever since he was an offensive coordinator at
Indiana,
but now I feel like the love is not that maybe it's gone too far, but it's like, it's too, I think the love has gone too far, or at least it's out ahead of him. Like, maybe I just think he needs to prove it before he's like, okay, he's the third best coach in the country. Yeah, prove it for a longer time.
I get it. All right. Number two, Brian Kelly. The way I look at Brian Kelly, I'd say he's probably the best coach to not win a national title. At least he's in the conversation. He's won and won pretty big at every stop, going back to Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, now LSU. So it's crazy to look back at him. He's been a head coach since 1991 at all these stops, and he's really only had a couple dud seasons in there. It's pretty amazing to look at. He gets the most out of his teams, and bottom line, he just wins. I think he got about all he could out of Notre Dame. They just weren't able to beat Alabama, or, you know, teams like Alabama in the BCS or the playoff. His first year at LSU, it was amazing. They surprised. They won the West. He helped develop Jaden Daniels into a Heisman winner. First 2 years, 10 wins. Now proving that he can recruit at an elite level. That was kind of the question mark going to LSU. And now he's kind of in that Lincoln Riley boat, in the sense where he had to address the defensive woes this offseason, and he did by going and finding an established D coordinator. So I like Brian Kelly.
Yes, I agree. I think, to me, it's somewhat clear that he's the number two right now. Mm-hmm. Just because, like you say, I love coaches that have, everywhere they've been successful. And Kalen DeBoer's like that, to his credit. But Kelly's done it, you know, I guess now for a longer period of time and at bigger programs. Number one is Kirby Smart. So that will do it for...
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares? I'm not going to talk about Kirby Smart. All right, what are your thoughts then on this list? Was it any difficult decisions you had to make, or I guess just any general thoughts?
I think it's similar to where the Big Ten... I was pretty confident in kind of the little mini... You know, I wouldn't move many guys more than a couple spots. I don't think there was a bunch of high variance guys. I guess the one that we talked about that people might drop more is Hugh Freeze, just because they would, especially looking at the first year at Auburn.
Mm-hmm. I think that top five is clear. Like, you can put it in a different order if you want.
Five
of Kirby Smart, Brian Kelly, Kalen DeBoer, Steve Sarkisian, and Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine there's a list out there that, well, maybe someone would have Josh Heupel in there. I would disagree with that, given Lane Kiffin's track record. But to me, that top five is pretty clear.
So I think after 11, which we have, is that Mike Elko? So from 12 to 16, basically that bottom fourth or whatever, do you see anyone having success in the next couple of years?
Ooh.
Like, okay, if you had to, there's five guys there, like, who would you pick?
Okay, Clark Lee at Vandy, no, just because of Vandy. Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State, I just think it's
a tough job.
It is a tough job, and they're I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he could turn around that offense, but not bullish there. Sam Pittman, I mean, he seems, I mean, again, all, like, we've
it hinges
we've
on this year.
Yeah, we've seen coaches that seem like dead men walking, like Neil Brown at West Virginia, and they've turned it around. But yeah, I don't see Sam Pittman surviving there. Shane Beamer at South Carolina, it just doesn't seem to be happening. So I'm not optimistic on him. And then
and Napier's 12.
Now I'm Beamer's, to Billy Napier. Billy Napier is... This schedule is so unfair that
it's unfair. If I had to pick a guy, I settled on Beamer. Like, maybe he'll be able to scrape and claw, because they do have some good talent coming in, just assuming he can keep it. But I'm not overly confident.
Yeah, I would agree. If the question is who's still going to be a coach at that program in 5 years, well, that's tough because Lebby's in his first year, so that's kind of not fair. But yeah, I do. I think Beamer. I agree with you. I could see him having success more than anyone out of this list. But I still think, I mean, obviously we just ranked them, so you know from that. But I do think Billy Napier is just the best coach out of those.
Right.
Even though Florida, we'll see, just hasn't seemed to work out, I still like him as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he just needs to go back to the Sun Belt. Maybe the Sunbelt Billy folks were right.
Sunbelt Billy.
Or maybe DJ Lagway saves them. We'll see. Anyway, thanks for checking out this episode of the College Football Bros. Next episode, we're, like I said, going to rank the top 15 coaches in the country, and we'll have some honorable mentions. So be sure to subscribe and check that out, and we'll see you soon.